Freelance Mum, the mother of all networking. Come and join our awesome online and offline community, which supports all your business needs, including child-friendly networks across the UK, plus our weekly online coffee morning. I'm Faye Dicker, voiceover artist and founder of Freelance Mum, and here's this week's podcast. Hello and welcome to the Freelance Mum podcast. This is a very special mini-series in the run-up to International Women's Day. And on this particular podcast, we've been exploring the themes of inspire and inclusion and speaking to lots of amazing women in business just around those very themes today. And I'm absolutely delighted to welcome on today's podcast Katie Evans, who's a firm favourite at Freelance Mum. She's a member of the Southampton Hub, and she's also one of our lovely sponsors as well in the form of a rather delicious cake. It's Katie Evans from Good Evans Kitchen, or Good Evans Nutrition. And Katie, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Faye. It's lovely to be here.
Katie, what I love about you, and I'm just going straight into it now, is that you are very much, you walk the walk, you talk the talk. Your business is pretty much in the DNA, your DNA, isn't it?
It is.
So would you like to start by sharing, what was it that guided you and took you into nutrition?
Oh, very good question. A mix of things. It started off from being a very young parent. And previously to that, I had a granny that always made everything from the garden, from scratch in the kitchen. And I thought that was quite a normal way of living. And I had children very young. And naturally sort of fed them in a seasonal way, and carried on working in the corporate world for quite a while, and then quickly realised that actually when I went to baby groups and other places, they weren't doing that. I was getting my little pots of homemade things out that I'd made from the garden and whizzed up, and other people were getting out other things. So I quickly realised that I was doing something slightly different, and I wanted to explore that more. And I suppose as the children grew and we talked more about why you eat and how that makes you feel and the changes through, I've got lots of children, so I had teenagers at different times, and I was interested on how their physical and mental changes were impacted by what they ate. And I suppose that really drove me to find out more and educate myself more on nutrition.
I absolutely love your story, Katie, right from the fact that it was your own granny who influenced you and things that seemed so normal and natural to you, you know, cooking from scratch, going up, picking from the garden and cooking, to suddenly this awareness and this awakening that, oh, what I'm doing isn't the norm. Everyone's got their jars or their squirty pouches.
It was normal to me, and I grew up from assuming that everybody did this, and I've got, my granny's still alive, but she's very unwell and only has a few months to live, but I have her beautiful handwriting of recipe books, of reams and reams of dinner parties, what to grow in the garden, which patch to cultivate, what to do with dates, what to do with too many lemons. It is a treasure trove to have, and so I suppose that's really my sounding board from where it first sort of took off.
That's wonderful. What a lasting legacy that your granny has created there as well.
It's such a treasure.
Does she know that? Does she know that's what you do today?
I'm not sure she really understands. I think previously to her being so poorly and before Alzheimer's, then yes, she did very much. And she used, even when we were teenagers and early 20s, she used to send articles in the paper about something she was concerned for us about, alongside a lemon drizzle cake and maybe a packet of nuts to do something with and a recipe poked in the box.
That's beautiful. Your granny sounds amazing. I can see how she's so clearly influenced you, Katie. And you touched on, Katie, you have got a big family. You've got a brilliant brood of five, haven't you? Yeah. From young adults to primary school age. So that's a real breadth there. And your motherhood must have taught you an awful lot as well.
It definitely tests you in ways you didn't know you were going to be tested. Absolutely. Mm. And it teaches you, it shows you the best and worst of yourself in almost an equal measure every day. But I think having four boys and then a girl, I've learned patience in a very different way. And the boys, I found everything was very competitive to getting dressed, brushing your teeth, getting your homework done, getting into the car. It can be anything, eating your dinner. Everything was a race. And my little girl is very much cannot be rushed and needs to really understand how she feels and connects to everything before she actions anything.
You put it so eloquently and so beautifully, and just the differences there. And, you know, most people struggle to cook meals from scratch, whether you've got, you're feeding two or feeding five or seven or whatever it is. And yet, Katie, you cook from scratch every night. Am I right in saying?
Yes. Oh, Fridays are my day off where the children have to cook from scratch.
Oh, I like it. But still cooking from scratch. So you really... What I want to say, you really do believe in this. This is just a whole way of being, isn't it? That's what I'm trying to say. It's a whole way of being. It's a whole way of life.
And I totally believe that everybody can have that way of life.
And so it's mindfulness that you're teaching here as well. It's not just about cooking and creating. It's about taking that time, creating that space, and holding time and space together as a family over meals. Is that correct?
Yes. It's about connection. It's a connection to the land, to the understanding the soil, how important it is to love it and cultivate it, to have organic matter, to feed the produce, for it to taste good, because otherwise that won't happen. For us to connect to the seasons and understand the changes in the seasons within nature, but the seasons that change within us, and how we have a connection, an habitual biological connection to that, and how that transfers to your family, and how that transfers to the table, and the connections and the relationships that you make with your family, to learn who they are and why they are made how they are, and how things taste and feel. There's a connection throughout all our lives, and something that I talk about quite a lot is, apart from your siblings and your parents, the biggest and the longest relationship you will ever have in your life, from the day you were born to the day you die, is with food.
That's so true. That's so true. And in our busy lives, Katie, food can sometimes feel like, we all need to eat again tonight. You know, it does, doesn't it? Why is it a surprise? I knew we were going to need it again. You know, you see these memes, don't you? Like, oh, is it my turn to cook dinner again? And it can feel like that.
It really can.
So how do people go from our busy lives, where we keep promising that tomorrow will be less busy, to cooking, creating, being mindful, because that can feel like quite a leap? How do we stop slinging fish fingers and chips in the oven on a Friday to cooking something different? How do we make those simple switches without it feeling overwhelming?
There are a few different ways to go about it. A lot of it starts and stems from your why you're cooking, why you're feeding yourself, why you're feeding your children. It's not just to fill a hole. What you put into yourself and what you put into them will have an outward reaction. What kind of behavior you get, what kind of sleep you have or they have, what kind of skin and hair you have, what kind of relationship with food that you have, all stems from your choices, what you decide to put in. And there are days that we all go to the freezer and grab a chicken, breaded chicken, or a fish finger pitta. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's about maybe making those mindful choices on, do you want to make those daily and see this type of outcome? Or do you want to make those decisions maybe once in a while? And actually, by choosing to put seasonal fresh produce in, maybe you'll get a different type of behavior or a different type of mood or different type of connection or relationship with your children and with the food that you're eating. So it does start with that, but actually one small change is enough. One small change in any direction that's positive and towards the lifestyle that you want to have within your family is always going to be the best start.
That's so good to hear, Katie, because I think at times, sometimes we hear messaging and you just think, well, that's amazing, but I am slightly overwhelmed now and it feels like too big a leap. I'd love to emanate you and your wonderful life and cook it all from you. Probably cook more meals in one day than I do in an entire month, for, in terms of from scratch, Katie.
I have lots of children that are fussy that I've had years of one of my boys throwing sweet corn at me because it was the wrong shape. It may have been the right colour, but he wouldn't eat it because it was the wrong shape. I like carrots and then I only eat them raw. And why would I even eat a round carrot? I only eat them in battens. I've had everything. And I think it's about being present with your children in that moment, taking a step back. I've had to leave the room, count to 10, maybe scream, have a quiet word, and then go back in and be present with them. It's not always easy, and they need to find out who they are and their relationship with food, which isn't your relationship with food.
That's great. You make a really good point. I think there's something around mealtimes and parenting that actually can bring out the best and the worst. And for me, it can be at the point of serving up, and it's specifically in our household, the point of serving up where I feel as though if I have to call your name again, I'm going to really get quite cross now, but I've spent a long time putting this meal together, time out of my day to bring it together to cook for you, and you're not coming downstairs. And when you come down, you come down. And it feels as though it's almost like an emotional hiatus pointing to this moment. Mm-hmm. And that's when suddenly it can blow. And it can be, as the person who's put the meal together, it can be really upsetting, actually.
It can. And I totally hear that. But I think it's always good to remember that food is a choice. That your hunger time may not be their hungry time. And that will change and evolve as they change and evolve through teenage years, through early teens, late teens and 20s. Their timings of hunger, their timings of needing to fuel are different. And that flexibility in understanding their relationship with food and their needs as they grow and change does need to be there at different increments as throughout childhood and raising young adults. We always have 1 to 2 meals every week that we have to sit down as a family, and other than that, food is made and I eat with whoever's in the house at that time. And it's not always everybody, and sometimes it's on my own, but they always know that there's a nutritionist meal available, and their choice is to take it or to leave it. That's not my decision. I don't control that. They control that.
That's an incredible thing to say, Katie. It's very magnanimous, actually, that, you know, you spent this time, and whether they choose to eat it or not, that's okay. You're okay.
But I spend the time to nourish myself because I have a value of a relationship with food, that I want to eat good, nourishing food. And I want to share that and nourish my family. And so I will make a meal and I will eat a meal with whoever's there. My little girl, maybe my husband, maybe it's one of the children, maybe it's 3 of the children. And some of them will come back from college late, or they'll be an after school thing late and they'll grab some food later. But I do value myself enough to cook from scratch, even if it was just me in the house every day, and it's always available. But I wouldn't ever control when they eat. Not now. I've got lots of teenagers and different ages. I've got young teens, preteens, young teens, early 20s. So they're all at different places in their life, time-wise.
And it would be unrealistic, I guess, really, to sit down and say, this is the time that we are all hungry and we will eat together now. Yeah.
And I think a lot of it in our house has always been about education, academic education, emotional education, biological education, you know, understanding why you're eating, why there is or isn't certain foods in our house. I get lots of slamming cupboards. Why are there no biscuits in this house? And why isn't there any decent chocolate in this house? And then I explain why, and they know that if they want to go and get it, they absolutely can on those certain days, or they can go to the shop and with the money that they have. But in this house, we have certain boundaries, and that's one of them.
That's amazing, Katie. Good for you. I can hear the biscuit slamming across the door now. I really can. I want to talk to you a bit about motherhood. And, you know, you became a mother at a young age, and we've been talking in our run-up to International Women's Day about the themes of inspire and inclusion. And what do you think we can do to make motherhood a more supportive place, to make it a more inclusive world? What's your experience been, and how has motherhood changed for you since becoming a mum at a young age? I mean, you've almost grown up with your own children in some ways, haven't you?
Well, yes, I have. In fact, I've I've actually not had an adult year without being a parent.
Wow.
Or being pregnant. So I don't know how to be an adult without being a mother, because for me, they are one and the same thing. My eldest is going to be 22 this year. And I'm 42. So I don't actually know what it is to be a grown-up without being a parent. But I'd say to understand the circumstances, I am very inspired to be a good mother. And if what I class as a good mother is to be really present in their lives, to be proactive and protective of and in their lives, to be persistent in learning and forgiving and loving, and to be overbearingly passionate about them. That actually there are times when I need to say, I'm really sorry, I totally messed that up and I didn't mean it to come out like that, or I actually shouldn't have said that and I was tired and you frustrated me, or I got the wrong end of the stick, or I just didn't listen, and can we start over and let's try again. I need to learn as much as they need to learn. And I think one of the biggest things is to empower, and to empower children. I'm trying to model that behavior, model being a leader, but I'm not always going to get it right. And I think empowering them through, or sometimes being wrong and getting things wrong, is a good thing too.
You are incredibly humble. And incredibly gracious in the way that you speak there, Katie. Is that something that you've had to practice? Is it something that you've modeled? I mean, I just being with you makes me feel calm, and you give that out. But is that a skill that you've had to learn?
I think probably, yes, over time. I was quite a punchy, fiery young adult. Who absolutely knew it all and only had ears for me, myself, and I at times. And I think being a mother, and I was a single parent, not just everything, the whole responsibility of me being it, me having to then go back and study, find a full-time job to pay for this responsibility that I'd created, keep the roof over my house, feed them, teach them, be everything. It was tough at times, and there were lots of tears and tantrums on both sides. And I didn't always get it right, but I've always had a lot of love to give. I came from quite a bumpy background parent-wise, and so I always wanted to be this just all-encompassing love, and acceptance and inclusivity for my children. And I think that space has been evident over the years. That's just, I've got better at it because I've failed lots, and I always talk about failing quickly, apologizing and moving on. I never come into parenthood thinking I absolutely know it all. I am hands up the first person to say I'm really sorry, I haven't got this right, but I am always willing to learn. And I think the children really see that.
That's a really, really great thing to say. And it's quite reassuring to hear that as a mother of five children that, yeah, you know, I still get it wrong. Hi, over here.
Every day.
Making mistakes. Hello. Yeah, that's me learning again. Yeah.
I'll open the door wrong, ask the wrong questions, share too much. You name it, I do it wrong every single day. But I do it with kindness and a lot of passion.
In terms of society, Katie, I think that sometimes as mothers, we can become a bit invisible. You know, once you've got that pushchair and you're pushing it on the pavement, and it's almost like we sort of fall into this subcategory, mother, invisible woman, does she have a brain? You know, did you find that? And what do you think we need to do as a society to support mothers? Because it's a vital role.
I think I was so young and I was so naive and oblivious. I didn't feel as young as I was when I first became a mother. So it didn't, I must have looked incredibly young, and there must have been lots of gossiping chats all about me and who I was. But I could have been chatting to someone who was in her 40s, someone who was in her 30s, or me, you know, late teens. And I felt as equal to them as anything else. I was very, very confident in who I was. But I think over the years that died a little bit, if I'm honest. I think the sleep deprivation, the constant need to give 24 hours a day, 365 days a week, the sinking feeling of I don't get a day off was enormous to me. And my youngest boy didn't sleep at all for 4 years and 10 days to the day. I had my first night's sleep after 4 years and 10 days, and it really broke me as a person for a long time. And it was hard to feel empowered. And as a leader, when you're feeling broken or you're doing emergency stops because things are jumping in the road because you've had no sleep. And I think community for me is always the answer. If you can build community around you, that empowers you. If you can build trust within the community, that empowers you. And if you can build confidence within your community and really lean on that, then it builds a presence that you can lean into when you don't have it. And I think for me, I learned that you can't do this on your own, and it takes a village to raise a child, and it absolutely does.
You know, it sort of fills my heart to hear you say that, because at Freelance Mum, that is exactly what we're all about.
Absolutely.
It's the community, and it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes, you know, a whole community to help grow a business, particularly as a self-employed mum and mother in business, because of all those needs, because of not having sick pay or holiday pay in either of those roles. You cannot possibly do it on your own. And it's one of the reasons why, as you know, I set up Freelance Mum. Building on that, Katie, at what point did you decide in this mix with all your amazing children at all their wonderful ages and cooking your meals from scratch and inheriting your granny's wonderful book, I'm going to turn this into a business? I've got a bit of free time on my hands. Yeah. You know, what made you do that?
I think we are in this family, looking back, and I hadn't realised this until about 6 or 7 months ago. Everybody in my family is entrepreneurial. My parents run their own business. My external family, aunts and uncles, they all run their own business. My cousins, they all have their own business. My brother, everybody seems to have this entrepreneurial streak in them. And although I have had lots of employment through raising children and needing that sick pay and that holiday pay to really lean on and pay childcare and things, as the boys got a little bit older, I used to help my husband run his business. And then we had a little property business. And then before you know it, we realized we were running two or three companies and raising lots of children. So the juggle didn't seem abnormal, because it was something that we sort of bobbed along and did. And pre-COVID, I was running cookery workshops as an after-school club for children, because there is still a massive gap for educating children on food and nutrition and where it comes from. And I was cracking eggs and peeling carrots, and they had no idea where this food had come from. And I took after school clubs as a space to inspire the next generation to cook. And it was amazing to start and do, and I loved it. But then COVID made me a non-essential element of being part of schools. And then we went into lockdown, and I had to become a teacher to my children, which actually was, I know for many, it was a really dark time, but for this household, it was one of the most incredible times I've ever had to spend with the children. We became a lot closer. We fought, but we cooked lots. We learned lots about each other. We grew as a family a lot. And through that and through my children, we started doing online cookery classes and workshops through COVID to adults and children, as a bit of light relief and a bit of fun and a bit of education and a bit of inclusivity to those really tough times during COVID. So that's where it sort of began, and then pivoted because pre-COVID everything went a bit bonkers, and it has grown into being able to inspire, include and educate communities, corporate businesses, families to cook from scratch using seasonal produce.
That's amazing, Katie. That's absolutely amazing.
It's slow and steady, and it's growing slowly and very organically. Less organic would be great, but I'm not giving up because I know, and I've seen it in my children, I know how food and building a good relationship with food can empower and change people's lives.
I'm going to ask you a question, but I think I almost know the answer, but it needs to be said. What inspires you then, Katie, to keep going every day? Because it isn't easy. Running a small business isn't easy. Slow growth isn't easy. But what keeps you going as a businesswoman every day?
The belief that I matter, and that I know that the change that can be made matters above anything. That to be the change that you want to see, and I really am being it. And I think I more of a voice and more visibility. And there are lots of things that I don't know. I don't know anything about marketing or tech, or I don't have an expert in every hat. But what I do know is of huge value. And I 100% believe in that. Having a family or having a husband that really believes in me and gives me very kindly the space throughout the week to be able to put energy into a business that does not cope with itself, doesn't live off itself. It takes time and energy and money that the business doesn't create at the moment. But it is, and it is changing. And I think in this house, certainly in this family, we definitely believe in the change. And to be able to cultivate that change and make positive impacts on people's lives, in people and business, is huge to me. And I won't ever give up, no matter how hard that is and how many times I may say to people that I know, I don't know how much I can do this for. There's always a light. And I think faith has a big part of that in my life, having a faith that I lean into. There's a bigger truth and a bigger understanding of my life than just I don't feel good enough, or I'm not making enough money, or I didn't. It's just so much bigger than that. It's the intention of the business is so much bigger. And the need and desire to create change, to impact people's lives positively, will always keep me going.
You're clearly a woman on a mission in just about every sense. And clearly, you know, making a difference, using your gifts and talents so incredibly well to make that difference. And Katie, that's so inspiring to hear, really inspiring to hear. You strike me as quite a visionary woman. Is there a big overarching goal? Is there a thing that you're working towards? Is there a vision in sight?
There is. There's a huge vision. Hopefully, well, we'll see what happens. But I would like to be able to grow the business much more UK-wide, to be able to have an educational centre for people to come and learn, for people to be able to grow and stay and heal and rest and know just how important it is to build a relationship with food that can serve your nutritional lifestyle would be huge for me.
That sounds amazing, Katie. I think we could all do with going to that place, please. Thank you very much. What a wonderful place. I can see you, you know, running that now, creating that space for people.
I can see it too. I can almost touch it.
Yeah, and I very much want to taste it. I really, really, truly do.
And the book maybe too. It's looming. It's brewing and building. So I just need to take the plunge at some point and piece all the bits together to build a book.
That's brilliant. I absolutely love that. Well, how do you piece together and create these wonderful recipes? I mean, I know it's one thing to know, okay, this is in season. I mean, you took a lovely photo the other day and it was a cauliflower-based recipe and you said, oh, I think you and your girls would love it. And I thought, well, you blooming well would. But how do you see that, where I just think cauliflower cheese, that's as far as I got with that one, sorry, you know? How do you get to that?
My husband is probably the best person to ask because I drive him nuts all the time. I was giving him a hug, and he has a beard at the moment, which he's never, we've been together quite a long time and he's never had one before. And I was giving him a hug against his cheek, and all of a sudden the crinkles of his beard against my cheek made me feel like I needed to make a chicken and coconut tray bake. And so I ran downstairs and said, I'm so sorry, your cheek has just made me think of a recipe. I got the designated coconut out of the cupboard, and I was mixing it with sweet potatoes and things thinking about like this Thai recipe that I had in my head. So they come from the most peculiar places, Faye.
Wow, Katie, this, when I said at the beginning of this interview that this is in your DNA, it absolutely is in your DNA. If the prickle of your husband's beard makes, I've just got a recipe and I need to go. In the same way that a musician might hear a song or need to write a lyric, you're capturing that recipe and off you pop.
And it can happen just going for a long dog walk in nature, and the wind or a certain scent or a certain shape or a colour can just inspire me, or just a feeling, like feeling cold, can make me think of warmer spices. So I might head into the kitchen and go, right, I'd like to make something with Moroccan spices or with Spanish spices or something with Indian spices, because I want to feel warmer. So I'll connect with spices or senses or vegetables that I know can make me feel like that, or I make a soup that I know will make me feel warmer, like a mulligatawny soup rather than a watercress soup, because I'll feel warmer and I'll feel like I'm in a warmer climate. So definitely I really connect deeply to seasons, not just what's in season, but you know, through the winter I'll cook more spicier food because I want to feel warmer and on holiday more often.
Love that, Katie, I really do. It's been so delightful speaking today and absolutely tantalizing. Before we go, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, who is it who inspires you on a daily basis then when it comes to both your business and your approach to motherhood?
Oh, I probably say my children are really inspiring. They are so, they're all so different. They all have so many different quirks. They have so many different likes. No one of them are the same, but they're all very opinionated, passionate people that believe in themselves. And I take a lot of strength from that. They've all been through some really tricky times growing up, through education settings or friendship settings. And I continue to want to be the leader that they need me to be, to try and empower them and to make change, to create a world for their generation that they want to live in, because it's frightening about what I leave behind and what they take over. And I think wanting that world change that I know that can happen within the food industry and within relationships with food and people's nutritional lifestyle empowers me to want to be the leader for them. So I suppose my children would inspire me.
Katie, that's an amazing answer. And thank you for doing such amazing work and creating, you know, just such wonderful spaces for your children, for the next generation, and for just leading the way for so many others as well. It's been an absolute delight having you on the podcast today, and have a wonderful International Women's Day.
Thank you. And you too. It's fantastic to celebrate International Women's Day with you and with everybody else, and to keep talking about making change, building nutritional relationships, empowering, inspiring and including everybody.
Thanks for joining us on the Freelance Mum podcast. I'm Faye Dicker, and don't forget, you can make a date with us every Wednesday on the Freelance Mum online coffee morning or at a local net talk near you. Come and try us out for free for 30 days at freelancemum.co.uk.